He looked at the beeping box in his hands. This way. Chapter 23. The Wonder of It All. The Forbidden Fortress lived up to its name. Once the four adventurers had found their way in through its massive oaken doors, it was almost impossible to tell the darkness of the shadow world outside the castle from the shadow world within. Either way, it was intimidatingly dark, and the farther Jay and Carlos and Evie and Mal crept inside, the more their nervous whispers echoed through the ghostly, abandoned chambers. Jay wished he'd worn something warmer than his leather vest. Mal's lips were turning blue. Carlos's breath appeared in white clouds as he spoke, and Evie's fingers felt like icicles when Jay grabbed them. Once or twice, and strictly for warmth. It was colder than Dragon Hall inside, and there was no chance of anything getting any warmer. There were no logs on the fireplace grates, no thermostats to switch on. That's modern castle living, Evie sighed. Trade in one big, cold prison for another. Mal nodded in agreement. Privately, Jay thought that Jafar's junk shop seemed downright cozy in comparison, but he kept that to himself. Inside every corridor, a dense fog floated just above the black marble floor. That has to be magic. The fog doesn't just do that, Mal said. Carlos nodded. The refracted energy seems stronger here. I think we're closer to the source than we've ever been. As he spoke, an icy wind blew past them, whistling in through the shattered stained glass windows high above them. Each step they took reverberated against the walls. Even Jay, the master thief, was too intimidated to try and take anything, and kept his hands to himself for once. Of course, once they did find the scepter, he'd have to man up. Jay knew that, and he'd made peace with it, no matter how well they'd all gotten along on the way there. Villains don't have friends, and neither do their children. Not when you get right down to it. None of them had come there out of loyalty to Mal or friendship. Jay knew what he had to do, and he'd do it. Until then, his hands stayed in his pockets. If this haunted place was selling it, he didn't want it. What's that? Jay asked, pointing. Green lights flashed through half-shattered panes of glass, but he couldn't figure out the source. It's what we've been tracking all along, Carlos answered. That same electromagnetic energy. It's going crazy. He shook his head at the flashing lights on his box. This fortress was definitely exposed to something that's left a kind of residue charge. You mean an enchantment? He shrugged. That too. And so, even after all these years, this place is somehow still glowing with its own light? Evie looked amazed. Cool, Jay said. Mal shrugged it off. In other words, we're getting closer to the dragon's eye. Yep, said Jay. Like the rest of the group, he knew what everyone else in the Isle and the Kingdom knew. That the evil green light meant only one terrifying person. Even if it probably reminded Mal of home. Corridors led to more corridors, until they passed through dark hallways, full of framed paintings shrouded in cobwebs and dust. It's the portrait gallery, Evie said, straining to see the walls through the shadows. Every castle has one. Mal, stop it, Jay shouted, looking behind him and jumping away. Mal reached out and tapped his shoulder. She was standing right in front of him. Hello? I'm not back there. I'm over here. Crap. I thought that picture was you. He pointed. That's not me. That's my mother. Mal said with a sigh.
Whoa.
You really do look like her, you know. Jay said. You two could be twins. Evie agreed. That, my friends, is called genetics, Carlos said with a smile. Gee, thanks. I look like my mother? Just what every girl wants to hear, Mal replied. Still, Jay knew different. What Mal wanted, more than anything, was to be just like her mother. Exactly like her. Every bit as bad, and every bit as powerful. That was what it would take for someone like Maleficent to even notice her. And Jay could tell that this portrait gallery was only making Mal want it that much more desperately. Now what? Mal asked, as if she were trying to change the subject. Jay looked around. Before them were four corridors leading to four different parts of the fortress. A foul draft issued from each of the paths, and Jay could have sworn he heard a distant moan. But he knew it was only the wind, winding its way through the curving passages. He yanked a matchbook from his pocket and lit a match, muttering a quick, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. How scientific, Carlos said, rolling his eyes. You got your way, I got mine. That one, Jay said, pointing to the corridor directly in front of them. Just as he did, the wind blew out from the same passage, and the foul stench of something rotted or dead came along with it. The wind snuffed the burning match out. Evie held her nose, and Mal did the same.
Are you sure about this?
Mal asked.
Duh, of course not. That's why I played Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. One corridor is as good as the next, Jay said, entering the corridor and not waiting for the rest to follow. It was the first rule of breaking into an unknown castle. You never let it get to you. You always act like you know what you're doing.
Jay had a feeling this fortress was playing with them, offering them choices, when really all roads probably led to the same place. It was time to take matters back into his own hands.
No, wait. You don't know where you're going. Carlos, check your box compass thing, said Mal.
Carlos brought the box up to the intersection. It beeped.
Okay, I guess maybe Jay's right.
Of course I am. They followed Jay into the dark corridor. Carlos held the beeping box in his hands, the sound echoing off the stony walls. It led them to a dank, cold stairway that led further downward, deeper into darkness. The air felt colder and damper, and in the eerie silence came a distant rattle, like bones striking rock or chains rattling in the wind.
Because that's comforting, Evie sighed.
The dungeon, said Mal. Or you might know it as the place where my mother encountered the love-struck Prince Philip. Evie's eyes were wide with awe. It was probably the most famous story in all of Auradon. Maleficent was going to lock him down here for 100 years, right? That would have been fun.
Carlos looked around. She nearly pulled it off, didn't she?
Mal nodded. If not for that trio of self-righteous, busy-body, blasted good fairies. She sighed. End of scene.
Enter Isle of the Lost. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've been down here for 100 years already. Let's get on with it, Jay said. He was more alert than he'd been all day, because he knew he was on the job now. It was time to get to work. Jay found a dungeon door. Carlos held the box inside, listening for its beep. This is the one. He went ahead with the box, while Jay and Mal and Evie helped each other slowly down the steps, bracing themselves against the wall as they went. There was no rail, and the treads were coated in a black moss. Every step squished in the darkness, and it felt as if they were stepping on something living and wet. Suddenly, the whole mud river thing doesn't seem so bad, said Evie. Seriously, Jay said. Mal didn't say a word. She couldn't. She was too distracted. Even the moss smelled like her mother. It only grew thicker as they delved deeper into the dungeon. There were layer upon layer of gauzy cobwebs, a spider's tapestry woven long ago and forgotten. Every step they took pulled apart the threads, clearing a way forward. All of them were quiet, hushed by the lingering menace in the air, as their footsteps squished in the gloom. Here? Mal asked, stopping in front of a rotten wooden door hanging partly off its hinges. When she touched it, the frame collapsed, sending the wood clattering against the floor. Even the heavy iron straps that had once bound the door fell against the stones and the wood, making an awful racket. Maybe we shouldn't touch anything, said Carlos, scrutinizing the device in his hands. Mal rolled her eyes. Too late. I think this is it, Carlos said. Jay hoped he was right, that the box had led them to the dragon's eye. He couldn't imagine what Mal would do to poor Carlos if it hadn't. Jay himself needed to get on with the job at hand. Mal nodded, and Jay pushed aside what was left of the door. As they entered, he couldn't help but notice that the shattered remains of the door and its frame looked like a kind of mouth. A panther's mouth. And they were stepping through its open jaws into the mouth of the beast. Did any of you notice? Shut up, Evie said tensely. They had all seen the same thing, which couldn't be good. That was probably why nobody wanted to talk about it. The four of them walked inside. The room was impossibly dark. There was not even a hint of light, not a glow from a distant window or a torch. Jay reached out, looking for a wall, something to touch. Maybe we should find a flashlight or something in Jay's pockets before we touch any, Carlos warned, but it was too late. Jay struck something with his hand, and the room was suddenly filled with the deafening sounds of metal and stone, colliding and grinding and tinkling all around them. And just as suddenly, they were bathed in the brightest light, a glow that burst from every corner of the room. The golden brilliance filled their eyes, and before they knew what was happening, the room was suddenly filling with sand. Sand everywhere, and they were falling into it, covered in it. Evie screamed. Mal started to thrash. Carlos lost hold of his box. Only Jay stood perfectly still. It wasn't a dungeon. It was a cave. A cave filled with sand, and from what Jay could barely make out amid the massive dunes now surrounding him, treasure. He looked around at the king's ransom of jewels that glittered in between the dunes. Mound upon mound of gold coins shimmered in the distance, while hills of gold coins stretched
as far as the eye could see. There were crowns and coronets, jeweled scepters and goblets, emeralds the size of his fist, diamonds as brilliant as the stars, thousands of gold doubloons and silver coins. There were larger things, too. Great obelisks and coffins, lamps and urns, a pharaoh's head, a winged staff, a chalice, and a sphinx made of gold. A king's ransom, he thought. That's what this is. Evie pushed the sand away and sat up, wearing a new crown on her head, quite by accident. What is this? Where are we?
I can assure you this is not part of my mother's castle, said Mal Riley, as she spat out some sand and blew her purple bangs out of her eyes. She stood up, brushing sand off her leather jacket.
More residue from the hole in the dome? She asked.
Carlos nodded. It has to be. There's no other explanation. Wait a minute. Where's the scepter? She asked Carlos, looking around. She sounded nervous. It has to be here, right? Has anyone seen it?
Carlos removed a golden bucket that had fallen on his head and picked up his box from where it was balanced on what looked like an ancient golden sarcophagus. He blew sand from the drive and checked the machine again.
It's still working, but I don't know. It's not beeping anymore. It's like it lost the signal or something.
Well, find it again, Mal barked.
I will. Give me a second here.
You have no idea what sand can do to a motherboard. Meanwhile, Jay was stuffing every pocket he had with as much of the marvelous loot as he could carry. This was the answer to his dreams, the stuff he had been longing for, heaven on earth, the biggest score of his life, and his father's. It dawned on him that he knew exactly where they were. The Cave of Wonders, he cried.
Come again?
Asked Mal. This is the place where my father found the lamp.
I thought Aladdin found the lamp, said Carlos.
Yes, but who sent him there? Asked Jay with a superior smile. If it wasn't for Jafar, Aladdin would have never found it. Hence, it was my father's lamp all along. He looked annoyed. But nobody ever mentions that part, do they? And my dad said he thought there might be other things hidden in the mist. He must have suspected this might be here, too.
Fine. Cave of Wonders. More like Basement of Sand, said Mal.
More important, how do we get out of here?
You don't, said a deep voice.
Excuse me? Said Mal.
I didn't say anything, said Jay, who was now wearing numerous gold chains around his neck and stacking diamond bracelets up his arm.
Who was that? Asked Evie nervously.
They looked around. Nobody else seemed to be there.
Fine. It's nothing. Now, let's find that door, said Mal.
You won't, said the booming voice again.
And you will be trapped here forever if you don't answer me correctly.
Great, Jay groaned.
Is this another riddle? This whole fortress is like booby-trapped or something, Evie grumbled.
Multiple defenses.
I told you, Carlos said. Burglar alarm, probably for the dragon's eye, don't you think?
Cave?
Should I call you Cave? Asked Mal.
Mouth of Wonders will do, said the voice.
Evie made a face, That's a terrible name. Mal nodded. Okay, Mouth. What's the question?
It is but a simple one.
Hit us, Mal said.
The booming voice chuckled.
Then it asked in somber tones,
What is the golden rule?
The golden rule? Mal asked, scratching her head. She looked at her team. Is that some kind of jewelry thing, Jay? But Jay was too busy grabbing as much gold as he could get and didn't seem to hear the question. Carlos began frantically reciting every mathematical rule he could think of. Rules of logarithms, rule of three, rules expressed in symbols, order of operations.
Is it maybe something about being nice to each other?
Asked Evie tentatively.
Do unto others what you want done unto yourself?
Some kind of Ordon greeting card nonsense? In answer, the cave began to fill with sand again. The Mouth of Wonders was not happy. That much was clear. Sand appeared from everywhere, filling the room, filling the spaces between the stacks of gold coins, rising like water, filling a sinking ship. They would soon suffocate if they did not give the Mouth the correct answer.
It's the Cave of Wonders, not the Fairy Godmother,
shrieked Carlos. The cave doesn't care about being kind. That's not the golden rule. The cave continued to fill with sand.
Come on, this way.
Mal tried to climb the stacks of gold coins, thinking she could avoid the sand by getting closer to the ceiling. But they collapsed beneath her each time she attempted to scale them, and she only ended up buried in more treasure. She tried again, and this time Evie gave her a push from behind, so that she was able to grab onto the tall statue of a sphinx. She mounted the creature's back and reached to pull Evie up beside her. But the sand was still rising, already engulfing her leg, threatening to keep her down.
I can't make it, Evie shouted.
You have to, Mal yelled back. But Evie had disappeared under the flood of sand. Jay couldn't believe it when he watched her go under.
Evie!
Come on, Carlos said, feeling beneath the sand for her. She has to be down here. Help me find her.
I can't find her, Jay shouted.
Evie popped back up, spluttering, spitting coins out of her mouth. Mal and Carlos and Jay looked relieved.
Here.
Now Mal offered Carlos a hand to pull him up, but the sand was already at his chest.
Come on, she cried. Climb the Sphinx.
I can't, he said.
What?
My leg is caught. Evie climbed up on the Sphinx and tugged at his arm on one side and Mal from the other. But no matter what they did, Carlos didn't budge an inch. He was caught, and the sand was still rising around him. It came from the walls and from the floor, and now Evie noticed that it was coming from the ceiling, too. Mal tugged again at Carlos's arm, but instead of pulling him from the sand, she pulled him out of Evie's grasp instead. Evie tumbled into the ever-growing mounds of sand, crashing against chalices and crowns. The sand covered her, first up to her knees, then her shoulders. Carlos reached for her, and they held hands as the sand kept rising.
At least I have my heels on, Evie said, trying to sound brave.
The sand was up to her neck, and Carlos could barely keep his chin above the surface now.
Jay! Where's Jay?
Yelled Mal, looking around, coughing up sand as she frantically held Carlos by the arm.
Jay!
Jay was flailing in the sand. It was in his hair, in his eyes. He was also covered with gold doubloons.
Gold. So much gold. He'd never seen so much gold in his life.
He had all the gold in the world, it felt like.
He would die.
buried in gold. The golden rule. What is the golden rule? Why, he knew the answer to that. He could almost hear his father whispering the answer in his ear. Meanwhile, Carlos and Evie had disappeared beneath the sand again, and Mal herself was about to go under. The sand was nearly at the ceiling. Soon there would be nowhere to escape to. No way to avoid the sand and no air in the chamber. They were running out of time and out of room. But Jay knew the answer. Jay knew he could save them. Whoever has the most gold makes the rules. That's the golden rule, Jay cried triumphantly, raising a fist in the air. There was a great booming chuckle, and the sand slowly started to melt into the drains. Soon, Jay and Mal and Evie and Carlos were standing right back in the fortress out of the dungeons altogether. The Cave of Wonders had disappeared. But then, so had all its treasure.
Fool's gold, said Jay sadly, looking at his empty pockets. All of it.
Chapter 24 Fun House Mirror. Evie thought her heart would never stop pounding. She could still taste the sand from that cave. So this was what true evil was like. Like sand in the mouth and gargoyles on attack. If this was what magic did, she was glad there was a dome. Also, she had practically lost a heel back in there. Evie shook her head. This was the second time the Forbidden Fortress had almost gotten the better of them. Did Maleficent know she was sending her own daughter into a trap? And if so, did she care? Probably not. This was the feared and loathed Mistress of Darkness after all. Evil Queen was a fool to think she could compete with someone like that, and Evie almost felt like a fool for trying to compete with the Mistress of Darkness's daughter. Now that she thought about it, Evie almost felt sorry for Mal. Almost. Carlos's machine was beeping again. The four crept through the ruined castle. Bats screamed and fluttered over their heads, and the crumbling marble floor beneath them seemed to shift and slide in order to bear their weight. Evie stumbled. What is it with this place? Is there a fault line that runs under this island? Well, Carlos began. Joke. That was a joke. Evie sighed. There was nothing too funny about their current situation, however. It was a miracle that the surrounding ocean hadn't completely swallowed the castle and the entire mountain by now. Evie could hear the scampering of rats inside the walls, and chills ran up her spine. Even the rats were looking for safer ground, she thought. This way, Carlos said, motioning to a narrow passage in front of him. They followed, trailing behind Carlos, the machine beeping. The sound growing louder. Now this way, he said, rounding one turn, then another. Evie was right behind him as they followed, the passage growing narrower. And now, what's going on? Asked Evie, cutting him off. Because I know my sizing and I didn't just double in diameter in the last 2.5 minutes. Indeed, the passage had narrowed to nearly her shoulder's width. If it got any narrower, she would have to turn sideways. A lump formed in her throat, and her stomach began to roil. She felt as if this were no longer a corridor. It was a crack, a fissure,
and felt like it might close on them at any moment. Mal raised her voice. Is it just my imagination, or are we wedged inside a mountain like a piece of string dangling down a pipe? Toothpaste squeezed inside a straw? A hangnail in this cuticle right here? Jay said, holding out his hand. Dang, this one really hurts. Are you describing the things you've stolen today? Because those are all terrible analogies, Evie said, looking at Jay. And I'm saying that as someone who was castle-schooled by a woman who thinks the three R's are rouging, reddening, and reapplying. Maybe we should go back, Carlo said, giving voice to Evie's fear. Except, I think I might be stuck. Just then, the walls shook, the castle rattled, and a chip of stone fell to the floor. The shard was big enough to do damage, and it narrowly missed Evie's perfect nose. She cried out. She wanted to retreat, but she couldn't. The corridor was too narrow. Maybe it's some kind of trap. Let's go, it doesn't look safe. No, Carlo said. Look, there's another passage, he said, wedging himself forward until he could pry first one hip and then the other out from the narrow corridor to a just wider one. As she and Jay and Mal followed him, Evie was so relieved that she didn't even remember to complain about her nose. This new passage turned right, then left. The walls were farther apart here, but they were oddly sloped, some tilting inward, others outward. The effect was dizzying, as even the ceiling was sloped in spots, and the corridors kept branching, splitting into two, or sometimes three directions. And always, the rumbling continued beneath them. Something doesn't like us, Jay said. We're not supposed to be in this place, echoed Evie. We need to hurry, Carlo said, trying to sound calm, though he had to be as scared as any of them. Another stone broke free of the wall, shattering as it hit the floor, nearly crushing Evie's head. She jumped back this time, shuddering. What is this place? We're in some kind of maze, Mal said, thinking aloud. That's why the corridors keep turning, why passages keep splitting off and narrowing. It's some kind of twisted maze, and we're lost in it. No, we're not. We've still got the box, Carlos replied. It's the only thing that is keeping us from getting lost in here. The machine was still beeping, so they just kept following him. Evie only hoped he was right, and that he knew where he was going. He must have, though, because the winding corridors soon gave way to more open spaces, and all of them breathed a sigh of relief. Even when the hallways ran long and straight again, the castle was still rumbling, the walls still tilting, and the ceiling was even lower now where they found themselves. It's not random, Carlo said suddenly. It's in a rhythm. You're right, Jay said. Look, the rumbling seems to go along with your beeping box. When the box lights up, the walls start to move. Evie stared. You mean, he's the one doing it? Carlo shook his head. Actually, I think it's the waves. Imagine how old this castle must be. What if each time a wave strikes the foundation, a stone falls, or the floors rumble? Mal swallowed. I just hope the castle itself doesn't crumble before we find the scepter. Evie bent down so her head wouldn't hit the ceiling. All of them, except for Jay, had to crouch down now to avoid it. It's a room made for mice, said Mal. Or
Dwarves? Asked Evie.
Or children?
Guessed Jay.
No, Carlos said, quieting the others, pointing to something in the dark distance. They followed the line of his gaze, seeing at first a pair of green glowing eyes, then another, and another.
Goblins, said Carlos. This is where the goblins live. That's why the ceilings are so low and the corridors are so strange. This isn't a place for humans, he said. And when he finished, the air filled with a terrible raucous laughter, the sound of claws tapping and teeth grinding. The box had led them right into the goblin's den.
Super, Mal said.
Yeah, good work, Jay snorted. Evie just glared at Carlos. And these weren't the friendly, enterprising goblins of the wharf, or the rude ones from the slop shop. These were horrible creatures that had lived in darkness without their mistress for 20 years. Hungry and horrible.
What do we do?
Jay asked, cowering behind Carlos, who had flattened himself against the wall of the corridor.
We run! Evie and Mal cried, one after the other. They ran toward the only open passageway, the goblin horde shrieking in the darkness following behind them, their spears beating against the walls.
Jay shouted, I guess they don't get a lot of visitors.
Maybe they should stop eating their guests, Carlos said, nearly tripping over what he hoped was not a bone.
That door, Evie said, pointing to a heavy wooden door. Everyone, in! They hurried through the doorway, and Evie slammed the door after them, throwing the lock and sealing the goblins out.
That was close, said Mal.
Too close, Jay echoed. The goblins could still be heard on the far side of the door, cackling and tapping it with their spears.
Maybe they just like to scare people?
Evie said, I heard they were mostly harmless.
Yeah, mostly,
said Carlos, sucking his hand where a spear had almost hit it.
Let's not wait around to find out.
When it sounded as if the goblins had gone, Evie cracked open the door. She made sure they were alone before she nodded to Carlos. They continued down the narrow hallways, finding nothing but empty chambers, until she spied a light shining from a hidden hallway.
Over here, she called.
She walked toward the light excitedly, thinking it might be the dragon's eye glinting in the dark. And stopped short, because she was standing in front of a mirror. A dark, stained, cracked mirror, but a mirror nonetheless.
Evie screamed. A monster, she said.
What is it? Mal asked, following and looking over Evie's shoulder.
Then Mal screamed too. Carlos and Jay bumped up next. A beast, Evie yelled. A hideous beast.
Evie was still screaming and pointing to her reflection. In the mirror, an old woman with a crooked nose and wearing a black cape pointed right back. The hag was her.
What's happened to me?
She asked, her voice rough and quavery.
Worse, when she looked down, she saw that her formerly smooth skin was saggy, wrinkly, and dotted with liver spots. She looked at her hair, white and scraggly. She was an old beggar woman, and not just in the mirror. She wasn't the only one. Mal was frowning at her reflection. She had a warty nose, and her head was mostly bald except for a few white strands.
Charming. It's gotta be some kind of spell.
Jay shook his head.
But once again, let's say it all together now. There's no magic on the island. There was a moment, for a single second, when my machine burned a hole in the dome, and I think maybe that was what did it.
Did what? Exactly? Evie asked, looking spooked.
Brought Diablo back to life, sparked the dragon's eye, and the gargoyles, and the Cave of Wonders, and probably everything that used to be magical in this fortress, said Carlos. I mean, maybe. Or not. I don't know.
I don't think I look that bad,
said Jay, who grinned at his reflection. He was chubby and pasty, bearded and gray, and looked exactly like his father. He, too, was wearing a black cloak.
I look like I got my hands on a whole lot of cake in my life, at least.
Speak for yourself, said Carlos, who was frightened to see that in old age he resembled his mother, feature for feature. Knotted neck, high cheekbones, bug-eyed glare. I think I'd rather face the goblins than this. I'm with you. Evie couldn't look at herself for another moment. She began to panic. Her throat was constricting. She couldn't look like this. She was beautiful. She was...
Fairest, agreed the mirror.
Not the voice, Evie shouted, before she realized what exactly she had heard. Because this time, it wasn't her mother doing her mirror voice, as it so often was. It was an actual magic mirror, on an actual wall. They all turned to the mirror, whose humanesque features had appeared as a ghostly presence in the reflective glass.
Fairest you are, and fairest you will be again, if you prove you are wise, and declare all the ingredients needed for a peddler's disguise, said the magic mirror.
It's the word problem, said Carlos gleefully. He loved word problems.
No, it's not. It's a spell, Jay said, looking at him like he was crazy.
I knew it, said Mal.
What's a peddler's disguise? Asked Jay.
Obviously, it's this. It's what happened to us, said Mal.
Evie, do you know what goes into making a peddler's disguise? It sounds like if we can name all the ingredients, we could reverse the spell.
Not us, Carlos pointed out. Evie, it says, you know, the fairest.
He looked at Mal, suddenly embarrassed.
Sorry, Mal.
There's nothing fair about me now, Evie said. But I have heard of the peddler's disguise, though.
Her eyes were back on the glass, still riveted by her awful looks in the mirror.
Of course you have. It's only your mother's most famous disguise. Remember when she fooled Snow White into taking the apple? Said Mal impatiently. Don't pressure me. You're making me panic. It's like, I used to know it, but now I can't think of anything except her.
Evie pointed at her reflection.
I'm paralyzed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool, Jay said. You could steal a whole lot of stuff looking like that.
Carlos nodded.
He does have a point. You might want to give the whole getup a test run.
Evie started to wail. Not helping, Mal scolded. Evie wailed all the more loudly. Evie, come on. That's not you. You know that. Don't let my mother's evil fortress get under your skin. Mal said, sounding as passionate on the subject as Evie had ever heard her sound, about anything at all. This is what Maleficent does. She finds your weaknesses and picks them off one by one, You think it's an accident that we stumbled across this magic mirror right when we happened to have the fairest along for the ride? You think it's on purpose? Evie looked calmer, and even a little intrigued. I think it's a test, just like everything else in this place, like Carlos and the gargoyles or Jay and the mouth.
Okay, Evie said slowly, nodding at Mal. You really think I can do it?
I know you can, you loser. I mean, fairest loser.
Mal grinned.
Evie grinned back.
Okay, maybe she could do this. I have studied that spell 100 times in my mother's grimoire.
That's the spirit, Mal said, thumping her on the back.
I can see the words of the spell as clearly as if it were before me now, Evie said a little more loudly, standing a little straighter.
There you go. Of course you can. It's a classic.
A classic, Evie said to herself. That was what I called it. Remember?
Could she?
Then she looked her old, ugly self right in the eye.
Mummy dust to make me look old, she cried.
Suddenly, her wrinkles disappeared. Carlos whooped with joy because his had vanished as well, and he'd hated seeing Corella's frown lines on his face. Evie smiled. To shroud my clothes? Black of night! In a flash, they were wearing their own clothes again. To age my voice? An old hag's cackle, she said, and even as she said it, her real voice returned, young and melodic once again. Jay laughed in delight, and it was no longer an old man's gruff chuckle. To whiten my hair, a scream of fright, said Evie, watching as her hair went back to the dark, beautiful blue hue. Mal's thick purple locks returned, and the black seeped back into Carlos's white hair. Evie was almost done now, and her voice gained confidence as she remembered the last words of the incantation. A blast of wind to fan my hate? A thunderbolt to mix it well? Now reverse this magic spell! All four of them cheered and yelled and jumped around like crazy idiots. Even Evie was grinning now. She had never been so happy to see herself in the mirror. And now that she was herself again, she found that for once in her life, nobody even cared how she looked. Not even her. It was like magic.
Chapter 25 Dragon's Curse.
As she trudged behind the others, Mal thought about what she'd said to Evie. How everything at the Forbidden Fortress had been a test. Carlos had faced the gargoyles, and Jay, the Cave of Wonders. Evie had endured the magic mirror. What about me? What's in store for me? Was danger, in the form of a challenge all her own, waiting for her, just behind the next castle door? Or would it be even more like my mother to just ignore me altogether, to leave me alone and think I wasn't worthy of any kind of test at all? She closed her eyes. She could almost hear her mother's voice now.
What is there to test, Mal? You aren't like me. You're weak, like your father. You don't even deserve your own name.
Mal opened her eyes. Either way, nothing changed the place where they were standing. Maleficent's home. Her lair. Mal was on her mother's turf now, whether or not she was welcome there. And she knew that whatever happened next, was about the two of them. Test or not, quest or not. Even dragon's eye or not. Mal couldn't shake the feeling that something or someone was watching her. She'd felt it since she left home that morning, and the presence was even stronger in the fortress. But every time she looked over her shoulder, there was nothing. Maybe she was just being paranoid. Past the mirrored hallway, Mal and the others walked through a corridor hung with purple and gold pendants and great tapestries depicting all the surrounding kingdoms. It was hard to tell one from the next, though, mostly because the dust was so thick. As they walked, they even made tracks across the dusty stones, as if they were instead trudging through hallways of snow. But on they went. The corridors bent and twisted, the floor sometimes seeming uneven, the walls angling one way or the other, making them all feel as if they were in a dream, or a funhouse, or some place that didn't really exist. A fairy tale come to life. A castle, only the way castles looked in nightmares. Every wall and every stone was rendered in shades of gray and black, a faint green glow sometimes seeping through a wedge here and there. Mother's home, Mal thought, every time she noticed the green light. The total effect was excruciating for all four of them, even for Mal, or especially for Mal. The cracked stained glass windows were the only other source of color. The old glass was mostly broken, and sections of the windows lay entirely in ruins, their shards dashed across the floor. Mal and the others had to step carefully to avoid slipping on one of the pieces. The long, window-lined corridor gave way to an even taller and wider corridor, and before long, Mal knew they were approaching some place of significance. A great chamber. Perhaps even the heart of the castle itself. Mal walked toward her fate, as Evie had said. Her destiny, if that's what it was. Mal could feel it. The now familiar pull towards something unknown. Something that perhaps belonged only to her. It was there in front of her, buzzing and vibrating, just as it had been since the first moment she stepped inside the thorn forest. It pulled at her, beckoned her, even taunted her. "Come," it said. "Hurry. This way." Was it really her destiny calling to her after all? Or was it just another failure waiting for her in the throne room? More confirmation that she would never be her mother's daughter, no matter how hard she tried. She stopped at a pair of doors twice the height of a grown man. "This is it. It's here." She looked at Carlos and he nodded, holding up the box. She saw that he had switched it off some time ago. "We didn't need it anymore," he said, looking right at Mal. Jay nodded to her. Even Evie reached for her hand, squeezing it once before she let it go again. Mal took a breath. She felt a chill up her spine and goosebumps all over her arm. This was Maleficent's throne room. "I'm sure of it now. I can feel it." She looked up at them. "Does that sound crazy?" They shook their heads. "No." She pushed open the doors, taking it all in. The darkness and the power, the shadow and the light, ceilings as high as the sky and as black as smoke. Windows spanning whole walls through which Maleficent could manipulate an entire world. "Oh,"
said Evie involuntarily. Carlos looked like he wanted to bolt, but he didn't. Jay's eyes flickered across the room as if he were casing the joint. But Mal felt like she was all alone with the ghosts. One ghost in particular. This was where her mother used to rage and command, where she had shot out of the ceiling as a green ball of fire to curse an entire kingdom. This was her seat of darkness. They pushed farther inside. Mal at the front. Carlos and Jay and Evie fell like a phalanx of soldiers behind her, almost in formation. The black stones beneath their feet were shiny and slick, and the entire room was haunted by an aura of deep malevolence. Mal could